Thank you to Robin. And now on to our final set of stories. Patrick Ward, writing in the Norwich Evening News, lets off a bit of steam about the Greater Anglia train advertising campaign. He says, "I'm not a fan of Christmas advertising campaigns. All that manufactured merriment can be nauseating after a while. The advertising campaign that's really taken the biscuit this economically unfestive season is the one for Greater Anglia. It features their weird red hare getting up to all sorts of computer-generated Christmas antics on a trip to London. One of the advertising executives behind the new campaign said, "It's more than just travel, it's about the magical experiences along the way, made better by the convenience and pleasure of train travel during the hectic Christmas period." This is part of GA's Where Wonder Starts advertising campaign, which began in the summer. "Whenever I get on any train, I do hope it isn't forced to stop prematurely. I know it's important that we use our cars less and use public transport more. And if these advertising campaigns actually work in that respect, well, that's a huge plus. Although I do wonder how many people will be saying, 'The Red Rabbit's right, let's get the train for once.' How much?"
A rainfall record, which stood for almost 50 years at a Norfolk farm, has been more than doubled during October's deluges. Alastair Wright tipped out an astonishing 270 millimetres during the month at the family's church farm, Stalham, smashing the rainfall total for October 1974 of 125.98 millimetres, recorded by his late father, Nigel. "We had 32 millimetres in the first 2 weeks and the deluge in the second half of the month as 238 millimetres was recorded," said Mr. Wright, who is a former chairman of Stalham Farmers Club. "We had several really heavy showers that came in off the sea on a north-westerly that just sat over us and really topped the totals up," he added. As a recorder for Norfolk Rainfall Organisation from 1972 for almost half a century, Nigel Wright, who was a long-serving secretary to Stalham Farmers Club, noted that the wettest year was 1987, with 920.23 millimetres. For previous Octobers, he had recorded 125.98 millimetres in 1974, 109.87 millimetres in 1987, and 121.2 millimetres in 2019. His average 30-year monthly rainfall before his death in January 2022 was 73.18 millimetres and the 10-year average was 68.84 millimetres.
A local celebrity has been signing copies of his autobiography after celebrating a much-anticipated milestone birthday. Malcolm Metcalfe recently turned 90, having completed his ambitious 90 Before 90 challenge earlier this year. The Galston pensioner wanted to try 90 new things before he turned 90, including riding a Harley-Davidson, feeding a giant sea turtle, and flying an aeroplane. His popular mission even led to Malcolm meeting the King during a visit to Priscilla Bacon Lodge and being introduced to Canaries fans on the pitch at Carrow Road. He said, "I've completed 106 things now. It's been a wonderful year for me." Malcolm's been signing copies of his book, My Adventurous Life, at the Long Arms pub in Spixworth. It features stories of Malcolm's life in his younger years, including tales of his hitchhiking journey from Great Yarmouth all the way to Australia. stopping over in countries including Iran and Afghanistan.
A Strictly Come Dancing winner will be the star attraction at the next Norwich Science Festival. Wildlife expert Hamza Yassin, known for his photography work on BBC shows including Countryfile, will be discussing his life and career. The 33-year-old, who won Strictly last year, will be talking about his younger life in Sudan and his travels around the world. His talk, My Life Behind the Lens, will be in partnership with Norfolk Wildlife Trust. Danny Hadley, Marketing and Communications Manager of the festival, said Hamza's event will give audiences the chance to hear stories straight from the Strictly star. We recommend booking soon to avoid disappointment. The news comes off the back of Hamza's Strictly Birds of Prey documentary being screened by the BBC in September. Natalie Bailey, Director of Engagement at Norfolk Wildlife Trust, added, "We may be nature lovers at NWT, but there are definitely some avid Strictly fans here too. We are delighted to be teaming up with Norwich Science Festival to bring Hamza to Norwich."
Members of the armed forces who were imprisoned during the Second World War have been remembered in special services. Families with ties to prisoners of war were joined by Royal British Legion standard bearers at St Faith's Crematorium as a cherry tree of commemoration was planted. During the war, almost 200,000 British and Commonwealth prisoners were held in the Far East, many in appalling conditions. For many years, the crematorium was home to a cherry tree that honoured the memory of armed forces veterans in an area of the grounds where some veterans' ashes are scattered. However, that tree had started to decline. Deborah Lear, a business leader at the crematorium near Norwich, said, "It was so important to all of us at St Faith's that we replaced our old cherry tree. The tree is not just about preserving a symbol of support, but more importantly, continuing the legacy of those who sacrificed so much." Pauline Simpson, chaplain of the Far East Prisoners of War Organisation, led a short service and a minute of silence was held to pay tribute. The families with ties to the prisoners gathered after the short service for a moment of reflection over tea and cake. And they also took the opportunity to share old photos of the memorial and family members reconnect with one another and remember loved ones who had passed on.
It was the year that Stanley Matthews was named Footballer of the Year and Jimmy Greaves was the top goalscorer in the country. And 1963 also saw Keith Greensides pick up his whistle for the first time as a football referee. Roll on 60 years, Mr. Greensides is preparing to referee his 2,929th games this weekend. At 85 years old, Norfolk's most senior football referee is set to take to the pitch in his home village on Sunday to take charge of an under-8s match. Mr. Greensides, from Ormsby, near Great Yarmouth, first wore the black jersey at a match in Martham in October 1963, kicking off a career that has seen him referee a staggering 2,928 games. Over seven decades, he has taken charge on pitches from local grounds in places like Thorpe and North Walsham to iconic stadiums like Highbury.
And finally, a horse in Norfolk that was so unwell she couldn't feed her own newborn has defied all odds and even adopted another orphan foal during her recovery. The pregnant and malnourished mare called Moose was rescued by World Horse Welfare's Norfolk Rescue and Rehoming Centre in Snetterton in May, but she was an extremely poorly and skinny mum-to-be. Moose then gave birth to her foal, Goose, but she was not producing enough milk for her baby due to being in such a poor state. This led to Goose suffering life-threatening sepsis and being in need of intensive veterinary care, but the odds were stacked against him. His mother patiently stayed by his side, and miraculously, he was able to recover. Once Moose and Goose were both well enough, they were taken to a field to continue their recovery alongside a mare called Snowy and her baby, Can-Can. However, Snowy was put to sleep due to ongoing health issues, and little Can-Can found himself orphaned. Luckily for him, Moose took the foal into her family and became Can-Can's adoptive mother, raising him alongside Goose. Chris Shaw, World Horse Welfare Field Officer, said, "To see a horse that we've been able to help and get back to full health, this is one of the best things about my job." And that's it. We've now arrived at the end of this edition of Chatterbox, and we hope you've enjoyed it. As usual, we remind you that when you've finished with the recording, turn the address label in the wallet over, pop in the memory stick, and drop it in a postbox. Don't forget, you don't have to pay any postage at all because the postal service is free, but we know there are ongoing delays with the postal service and with you receiving the recordings in a timely manner. Unfortunately, that's beyond our control.
We hope you have enjoyed this edition, and thanks go to the whole team of over a dozen loyal volunteers who have produced it today. The editor was Ian Gorst, and the sound recordist was Simon Pitt. If you would like to let us know anything about the items you have heard about today, you can call us on 01603 765 365. That's 01603 765 365. The office is not staffed every day, so if there is no reply, please do leave a message on our answer phone and we will get back to you as soon as we can. You can also visit our website on cbtn.org.uk. And with that, we hope you have enjoyed this edition of Chatterbox. So for us, it's goodbye from me, Elaine, and John.
Goodbye.